You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Guidepost. Cody and Tony here, Wednesday, August 26th. It's just before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. And a quick rapid reaction style podcast. We actually haven't had one of these in a minute, but we're just getting off a North Carolina state hearing with the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission, where a new rule was being heard for public comments in step, it feels like 837 of this ruling. But there was another public comment period for a proposed rule that would set a 5-fish recreational bag limit for Atlantic Bonito. The rule would also authorize the director of North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality's Division of Marine Fisheries to implement additional management measures by proclamation with prior consent of the MFC. So there was a hearing tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. You could attend in person or via web. We had a bunch of regular voices, you know, our regular faces that you guys are used to, attend and submit a public comment through the WebEx, you know, the digital portal. But there's also still a written comment portal. So anyone, members of the public who want to submit a public comment, you still can. Online form. If you're really retro, you can still mail one into their PO box. But the public comment portal for written is open until October 2nd. Okay. So you have until 5 p.m. October 2nd. So joined here by Tony, who kicked off comment. I believe, Tony, you were the first one tonight. But we're just going to tee up one or two quick things we heard, chat about it, one or two things real quickly. And then what we're going to do is just going to put the audio at the end. I like doing stuff like this because I think it makes us feel really human. You'll hear all sorts of different levels of preparedness and, you know, different approaches to how people were saying where they're from, what they believe in, and why they do support it. But to just try to make this feel really accessible and make people realize that, man, this stuff's easy. I could have hopped on and said, hey, I really support this. I like it. And I want to see some more fish. So when me and Tony finally wrap up talking, you'll just hear the meeting kick off to end this podcast. But Tony, quick, rapid reaction. Any thoughts? I don't have an exact tally in front of me. I want to say maybe about a dozen total comments, small, relatively short meeting. And I want to say if it was a dozen, it was 11-1 in favor. I didn't get an exact tally. That might be off by a couple, but it was a
yeah, my reaction is, you know, thank everyone for commenting and thank the state for going through this. You know, my overwhelming feeling is we had some great comments. And I mean, this is just common sense. When the officials from the agency kind of read the proclamation and the reasoning behind it, you know, these fish don't freeze. And Cody will play the comments, but there were on the water comments from some of our guides that, you know, we're watching people kill 70, 100 bonito in a day. And y'all have to realize if you're from the Mid-Atlantic or New England, these fish set up totally different out of Beaufort than anywhere else. And it's like fishing for albies in Florida versus fishing for albies in Cape Cod. Like, exactly. You have to be a sniper in Cape Cod. And like last year or the year before, Cody spit chewing gum over the side of his boat and like a 20-pound albie ate it. In between his stern and the motor mount, ate a piece of chewing gum. So it's kind of like, think chewing gum for these bonito. Like these fish are setting up on artificial reefs real close to the inlet. On any given day, there could be 50 to 100 boats on them. And a lot of the boats are acting correctly, but a lot of them aren't. And they're keeping 100 fish, and you're going back into the harbor, and you're seeing like dead bonito floating everywhere just because they wanted a dock shot. And I'm sorry, we're not going to tolerate that. And this is why we're doing everything that we're doing. Because, I mean, you can't fix stupid. You cannot fix stupid. Like, think of it. Like, should there really be a law that says I can't burn a tire in my backyard? Like, when you see the black smoke billowing, doesn't something register in your brain and the noxious fumes that, like, maybe I shouldn't do this? But there's rules. There's laws that say that you can't do it because there is that one person out there that's going to do it. And that's pretty much what we're doing right now. It's like, whoa. Are you going to kill 100 fish that you can't freeze? You're going to throw away 90 of them just so you can take a picture to get people on your boat the next day? I mean, that's a terrible business model. It's a terrible way to teach people how to fish, and especially like new people on saltwater, terrible way to show them the resource. And it's a terrible way to treat a cool fish like a bonito. So that's why we had to do it. That's my takeaway.
Kind of reminds me of like a speed limit concept, right? There's a theory you could throw around there, Tony, which is, you know, yeah, man, if we didn't post that you should, you know, stay under 35 in this residential neighborhood or 30 or whatever, yeah, most people would still drive slow anyways. But how many people, if you didn't post it, would drive 50? And there's the one knucklehead who would drive 70 drunk you home from the bar three nights a week. And so you put those regulations in place. Well, there's nothing to say that people are speeding through this neighborhood while everyone lives there and their kids are there and they want to be able to safely go in the road. So you just post, hey, man, you're not supposed to go over 35 over here. And maybe it's just 40 would be safe in this area, you know, as well. And people are paying attention while they're driving. The reality is you put in that quote unquote regulation, that speed limit, to tell people, hey, you stay under this because it's for the better good of everyone else. And this is a very similar theory here, which is five per person is still very liberal. I mean, and someone, I don't know if it was you or someone said like, hey, six people in the boat, there's 30 fish. Who needs 30 bonito? Who? Like, what? You literally can't tell me. I said in my public comment, the last time I fished for bonito, we kept a few. We had both sides of my family together back, everyone gathered back on Cape Cod. It was really fun. We got everyone together. It was my nephew's first guided fishing trip ever. He's caught a couple of bonito on spin with Jogo. He had a great time. He was giggling. It was like one of his core childhood memories. His grandpa was there. I think we kept three. And we prepared everyone, who, even people in my family who aren't huge fish people, all tried some. Wow, this stuff's so really good fresh. We prepared it two different ways. And there was still a bunch left over. It's like everyone ate some fish and everyone ate some other stuff around. So this isn't a catch and release. This isn't the shut down the ocean crowd. It's literally common sense. And one final thing up there in, Tony, is I feel like one or two people who are normally like, you know, they're dogs on the microphone. They're in there. They have their science ready. I feel like some people, including myself, maybe I'm projecting here, like in the comment, we're like, yeah, you know, this is kind of common sense. And, you know, like you don't have SSBs to cite. You don't have it. It's just kind of like, I don't really know what else to say. Like five fish per person, and this is just common sense. So thanks for the time to comment, I guess. You know, like there's not a lot of sting. There's not like all this nuance to it. It's just, why can't we just have any sort of common sense? Like it makes no sense. I liked Eddie Nickens had a great comment. People will hear that.
Eddie is a silver tongued devil. You know that.
He did outstanding, man. He did outstanding. And
he is just a funny guy.
And a perfect person to have on the microphone. And, you know, a long time, he's a native of the state. He's an angler in the state. You know, this is someone that is the perfect representation of someone you want giving a public comment. And
yeah, I mean, like, let's not, Eddie's just not like some guy we found on the corner from North Carolina. He's a field editor for Field and Stream.
Garden
He's
and
a
Gun.
Writer for Garden and Gun.
Tail
He's
Magazine.
The managing editor of Tail Magazine. He's
very
written,
involved in the industry.
Oh my gosh. Like, very involved in the industry is the understatement of the century. Like, he is the quintessential Southern gentleman. Mm-hmm. He loves to shoot birds. He loves to fish for anything on God's green earth.
I liked his phrase, Tony. He said that these fish are suffering from accessibility and deliciousness. What a phrase. Yeah, that's going to be, that has to be the episode name. I mean, so perfect, right? Like that is what's going on here. They're easily accessible. They're schooled up and gosh be darn, they taste good, right? Like and when our community and our core group, we go comment on some other fisheries, we get labels thrown at us, right? Because the easiest thing to do if you can't debate the topic is just put a label on why the other person's opinion doesn't matter. I'm not going to refute it. I'm just going to tell you Tony's bad, right? And it's always the catch and release, sissy fly angler cloud. Everyone on here on this podcast, or not on this podcast, on this comment tonight was talking about how they like keeping these fish. So it's a bunch of catch and harvest guys on tonight's comment being like, yeah, we're cool with five per person. There was one comment that was opposed, and we're gonna play a section of it real quick and react. And again, I'm not including any names or anything. This is not doxing this one individual that someone's not allowed to disagree with us. But you know, I'm gonna tease something up really quick that I think, you know, is worth discussing. So again, nameless, not the point.
I think this issue is a matter of.
Oh, 1 second. That was Eddie. Give me 1 second here. Look at me on my little, I'm like a soundboard now, soundboard expert.
I don't know why you need to regulate. The data do not support because you don't have enough data. There's no targeted commercial fishery. There's no biological concern. No valid data compel regulations. I don't think that Massachusetts nor Turkey are providing models for intelligence regulation in North Carolina.
So that was the first in one of the major themes here, Tony. No data equals no support for regulation. And really, I think this comes down to a theory and mindset here, which is if no data, comma, then what? And you kind of have like one of those graphs where it can split off to two different mindsets. And our community at large believes in, if things data poor, be more conservative in your approach to managing that resource. Meaning if you don't know, you should not over harvest, you should not over exploit, versus if you don't know, then that means leave me the heck alone and let me do whatever I want. I think it's a theory thing here that leads you from that topic to your two points of view. But if you have any quick reactions.
Yeah, my reaction is simple. Even though this guy gave his resume out, as soon as he opened his mouth, we realized that he's never been involved in fisheries in his life because there are no absolutes in fisheries. Look, we've been sitting in the striped bass stock assessment workshop since Monday at like 1 when it started. And I can tell you, for the most studied fish on the East Coast, we don't know anything. And it really is. I mean, we don't know very much, and it's all models and a guess here and an assumption there. And we're not probably in the next couple of years going to get a lot of money for stock assessments. We're not going to get a lot of money for research. So, hey man, let it ride, baby. Let it ride. Just roll the dice, put a blindfold on, and everything will be fine. Cody, I don't know if you're going to play it, but he made a comment about...
I'm going to put all the full comments at the end of this. Yeah.
Okay. So he made a comment about this is a huge change for the fishery. And then in the next breath, he said, you know, saying that these people don't have the authority for such a monumental change in the fishery. And the next breath, he said, looking at your report, people only keep 5 fish anyway. And it was one of those moments where I was like, so you just contradicted yourself. Because you said this is the only group that this is going to be a huge change for are the people who were abusing the resource. And I very clearly, I don't give a shit. Don't abuse the resource. I mean, he kind of talked in circles, and apparently in the circles that he operates in, people think he's smart. but he contradicted himself several times.
I was thinking that when he brought up the five fish thing, he said it like, I was jokingly, I think I sent a text to someone like, no one keeps more than five. So don't you dare tell me I can't have more than five. But like, this is pointless because it wouldn't be a reduction because we don't keep five. But like, no one's going to go fishing because it won't be fun anymore if there's regulations if you can't keep five. But we don't keep five, so it doesn't matter. So no regulations. It's like, but look, I don't know what the
I'm picking this because I think it's probably, I think it'll probably whatever. I'm picking it for a variety of reasons. But like squirrels. I don't know what the daily bag limit for a squirrel is in North Carolina, but I'm sure there is one. I'm sure there is one. And like, I don't know. North Carolina isn't that far from me. We got a lot of squirrels, man. But I can promise you, if there wasn't a limit, and squirrels freeze too, by the way. I told you the story about squirrel brains in my youth, Cody. I think I told you that.
Well, I just Googled it. So squirrel hunting in North Carolina requires a valid hunting license. And then depending on which type of squirrel, there's a season, there's a daily limit, no possession or season limits. And so it depends on if you're going after gray, after fox, after red. So yes, you
yeah,
are.
But each one of them has a...
Yes.
So here's my squirrel brain story. My mom had this... We don't make stuffing, we make dressing. It's a little bit better than stuffing. Crap that Northeastern people get out of a box. So we made dressing, and my mom, you know, my mom was sick and she had something that you don't get better from. And she was just decided, I guess, to just let all of her secrets through. And she was giving me the recipe to her dressing so I could make it for my family. And she was like, yeah, you can just use eggs instead of the squirrel brains. And I was like, oh, I'm like, rewind a second, Mom. And then it dawned on me because my grandfather taught me how to bark squirrels. And barking a squirrel is hitting. So we would use like small game black powder rifles sometimes. And you get the little mini ball to hit right by the squirrel's head on the tree. And the concussion would kill the squirrel and you wouldn't ruin any of the meat. These are little, I mean, these are like 32 caliber little black powder, small game guns. Yeah, like a 22, man. It's really a low caliber. And it all, like all these memories came back of like my grandfather teaching me how to bark a squirrel and then my mom with the squirrels and then the dressing. And I was just like, holy Christ, I've been eating squirrel brains my whole life. But even then, I didn't even know, you know, it was just my mom was like a master chef. And it was just one of the many things that she didn't tell me about the food that she cooked. But the point is, like, even when I was a kid in the 70s, where like there were no rules for anything, you know, It was okay. Look, this is how many we need. And this is what we're going for. And somewhere along the way, and I think social media made it worse. And I think the older generation of fishermen make it worse. It's just like this measuring competition on how many dead things you can put on a dock. And the more dead things that you can put on a dock, it translates to them the more likelihood that I will get booked instead of the person in the slip next to me.
It's very boomer generation s like keeping up with the Joneses, where you're like, the person next to me has got the new Ford, so I got the new Ford and I got the leather seats. You know, it's very much my generation does not roll that way. We're actually like, yeah, take less, have less.
And you know, Cody, like, it's interesting you said that because their difficulty in booking a client for the next day is due to these dock shots. It's not because they didn't have two more triggerfish on the dock. It's actually due to a whole new generation of people who have more information at their fingertips that look at it and be like, I don't think this guy's the one for me.
It's not my vibe. It's not what I'm going
for.
Let me go.
And wouldn't it be refreshing if when you're a guide and you're out there and you're not like, oh my gosh, I have to fill the box. If I don't fill the box, I'm a terrible guide. Instead of being like, y'all are going to see some awesome stuff. You're going to get a couple of shots at some really cool fish. And, you know, tell me if you want to keep something. There's certain species and places, and we can catch a couple for the dinner table, but y'all are going to have an all around awesome day. And these are the people that will book with you again the next year and the year after that. And you'll see their families grow up, and their kid will end up growing up and having kids and taking you out as a guide when you're older. And these are the clients that you want, but they're stuck in this hamster wheel where they think the more stuff that they kill, the more clients that they get. And it's actually the opposite.
Because the resource is your product.
I just want to put that out there. Like,
the resource is your product.
In the foot.
So if you have a certain amount of fish, they live in a certain area, and that resource is your product. You take people to either experience it or take it home and consume it. Every time you take one out is one less product that you have to sell. So it is like having a store, but you never restock the shelves. How many times am I going to come in your convenience store, Tony, to buy an energy drink? And eventually I come in and there's like two drinks left, and it's the flavors I don't like because that's the ones I don't buy. And I'm looking and the cooler's not stocked with drinks anymore. And I'm like, I'm not going to come here anymore. This isn't what I'm looking for. I mean, that's you're not restocking your shelves, and you're just selling yourself down to the final fish. So it's unreasonable. I wasn't expecting to learn about squirrel brain soup, but me and you definitely grew up differently. That's for damn sure. But you know, it's again, jokes aside, this one felt like a common sense.
Squirrel brain. The brains were like the eggs in like meatballs. They like bind.
We'll leave that up for someone listening to this in the car. Just like threw up all over themselves while they're driving home. So my apologies, listeners.
It is an acquired taste. Like
I'm sure it is.
Don't you remember like a month ago that I sent y'all a picture in my grocery store and it was a container of chicken livers? And I was like, God, I love chicken livers. Like if one thing could bring me back to my youth, it's my mom sitting there in front of the stove, look at that skillet, and I could smell those greasy chicken livers cooking, and I'd be picking them out of the skillet, eating them. Oh my God. And she'd put them in a brown paper bag.
I'm going to clip this one the next time we're at some Louisiana hearing or something. They're like, that's a bunch of catch and release, no harvesting wimps. And I'm going to be like, dude, this guy's eating like your lawn squirrel's brain. So, you know, be careful what labels you throw around. But
By the time I was 10, I was so good I could knock him out of a tree without putting a hole in him.
Well, I love it. Thank you to everyone that hopped on hearing tonight to give a comment. We're going to throw all those at the end. We're going to hop off here and not run this one too long, just so y'all can again get an update. We have until October 2nd. So if you missed this, you didn't know what was going on, you missed the blog, life gets crazy. Totally understand. You still have an ability to submit a public comment. Tony, one of the other things I heard interestingly enough in the one comment of opposition was that the gentleman was not in favor of rushing rulings down. And ironically, the people who are participating and supporting this ruling as it moves down the pipeline are like, how many effing times do I have to get on and comment about this stupid ruling? Like, it feels like we're on hearing 75 of, step 432 for North Carolina. So ironically, this one seems like it's taking forever and there's no way being rushed down the pipeline. But that seems
scapegoats. When he said that, I was like, I think I took a right turn and got off that pipeline about a year ago. You know how hard it is to get people on one phone call and make one comment? I mean, between Albies and Benito, I literally have no idea.
Yeah, and
how many people
think
we have had comment on this issue.
Off that, Tony, I mean, shout out to everyone who has commented on every single one of these. You'll hear some of the guides, Mauser and some of the other guys who have jumped on. When this finally, hopefully, gets to ruling and becomes law, I mean, take ownership of it. Feel proud. of your work, because you walked this dog down a very long track, and you should be proud of that. If we get to that point, and the hope is that it will, and that people will submit some written comments, and that this continues with the trend that it is, but you can be proud of, like, hey, I did that. I participated in the process, and I didn't have, regardless of what anyone says, any shortcuts, or, you know, this process was 732,000 steps and I did them all. And now this is a thing. So to everyone who's staying in the arena, as we like to say, greatly appreciative of you.
Leave you with that thought. Everyone behave, treat the resource well. And yeah, Cody, I guess we'll see him on the next guidepost.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I think Tony stole my notes. He pretty much hammered my sentiments exactly. My name is Scott Davis. I am from Charleston, South Carolina. I'm a retired fishing guide and a shop owner, and then the South Carolina representative for the Saltwater Guides Association. Just to echo him, I'll be really brief. I think the 5-fish limit is needed and is a very good step towards everything we need, conservation and more fish in the water. So that's all. I appreciate you letting me go ahead. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Cody Rubner.
Hello, can y'all hear me? Awesome.
We can.
Thank you. My name is Captain Cody Rubner. I'm going to keep things short and sweet as well, as I'm sure you guys have a bunch of meetings that go far too long, and we'll try not to contribute to one of those tonight. But I fully support the 5-fish bag limit for Bonito. Just, you know, keeping everything short, sweet, and focus on common sense. The reality is that 5 fish per person, especially like previous speakers said, multiple anglers in a boat, that's a lot of fish that comes home. The last time that I actually got to target Bonito was with my nephew, and a memory I hold dearly. We were up off Cape Cod, obviously migratory fish, and the same fish, even though outside of North Carolina waters, we kept a handful for the family, and it was more than enough, and that would have been less than just a single person's bag limit within this context. So fully support this. I've grown up around fisheries that were on their way back after reaching the brink, and now they're on their way back down to the brink. And so watching fisheries go up and go down, and reality is a lot more going down than they are going up right now. So anytime we have an opportunity like this to lay a foundation that says, hey, why don't we just only take so much and just keep enjoying it and be able to enjoy it for a really long time, I think it's pure common sense. And I'll keep everything short and sweet. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thanks, Cody. Mario Campo.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mario Campo. I'm from South Louisiana, but I've been following this closely. I'm also with the American Saltwater Guides Association. I'll keep this short and sweet as well. I strongly support the proposed management action, especially considering that I think Bonito is a data-poor species in itself. And, you know, a large knowledge gap exists for the species. I think that these proactive management measures is pertinent, especially for future management for this species. So I'd like to thank North Carolina's Marine Resources for their continued hard work on behalf of these resources. And thank you. That's all.
Thanks, Mara. Jake Hardy.
Hi, my name's Jake Hardy. I'd like to thank you, like everyone else here. I am from Maine, well, living in Maine now, from Massachusetts and New York, and also with ASGA. And like everyone else here, and a lot of recreational anglers, I've become a big fan of Bonito, especially as other species that we rely on decline. They're a blast on light tackle, and I'll add that they really are delicious, seared fresh. And five fish bag limit is more than reasonable for any honest angler. I've watched coolers get filled well past what any family can eat. And without a bag limit, that kind of waste is just baked into this fishery. So you have to keep it short and sweet. I just want to highlight the DMF's main source of information for this is annual landings, and that can't tell you whether there's more fish out there or just more fish or more anglers targeting and catching them. So whatever's driving the recent spike, none of us can really say for sure. And that uncertainty is the argument for this rule, not a reason to delay or wait. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I've got a note that Kyle Schaefer is raising his hand, so I'm going to switch to Kyle real quick to see if maybe he's got time constraints. But Kyle, if you're there.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the time. I do not have constraints. I thought that was kind of the way to signal I'm here to comment. So I don't mean to jump anybody, but here I go. my name's Kyle Schaefer. I've been a longtime fishing guide up here in New England. Also a lodge owner, down in the Bahamas as well, and been in this fishing industry my whole life. And just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to comment here. I think this is a fantastic, proposal with the five fish bag limit. It makes a ton of sense for anglers that want to catch and release and anglers that want to catch and take home and have some wonderful fish for their family. I think coming from the New England perspective, it's really cool to see states in the South, even proposing, measures like this, because I think it just, you know, I see it as a way to kind of de-risk our future fishing up here in New England as well. I think it really, you know, being a migratory stock, things that are happening in the Southeast are, you know, heavily affect us up here in New England. And so it's great to see you guys taking a proactive approach here. And just want to thank you for the time and clearly say I'm in support of the measure. So thank you guys.
Thanks, Kyle. All right, Michael, you're looking mighty lonely in that room by yourself, so I'm going to let you come on up and speak. Michael Ellison.
Well, I have a different perspective. I've been in the ecosystem restoration business for 30 years. I've been a division director at the Diener/GEQ. I've been executive director of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, Natural Resources Trustee for the state of North Carolina, the delegated authority, and I currently serve on the Environmental Management Commission. I am representing myself. I just wanted to give you an idea of where my perspective comes from. I don't know why you need to regulate. The data do not support, because you don't have enough data. There's no targeted commercial fishery. There's no biological concern. No valid data compel regulations. I don't think that Massachusetts nor Turkey are providing models for intelligent regulation in North Carolina. You have no concerns about commercial fishing impacts, and perhaps recreational landings may have apparently possibly increased because so many other fisheries are so strictly regulated. I think the delegation of the commission's authority to the division director, I believe that's an abdication of your responsibilities. With all due respect, the rulemaking process is deliberative, extensive, detailed, and it takes time. And when the legislature prescribed the rulemaking process that commissioners go through, they did it intentionally so that rules would not be rushed through. And yet, in awarding the director proclamation authority to change the rule, you remove the opportunity for public comment. You remove the requirement for regulatory impact and assessment and fiscal analysis, and the director cannot be as easily removed from their position. They do not have the accountability that you as a commissioner have, either directly or indirectly. You're appointed by a political officer who is voted into office by the public. And you have a limit on your term. State employees are much more secure in their positions. So I don't believe that the proclamation authority is a good idea. I think it bypasses critically important process set forth in the statute. Your physical analysis, having read countless dozens of physical votes and RIAs, it seems kind of bogus. Your data indicate, they don't demonstrate, they indicate that most recreational trips keep less than the five fish. There's no targeted commercial fishery. So if the recreational fishers are not keeping more than five fish, I don't know why you need to set a rule at five fish and set everything up for a rapid reduction in that limit. Like I said, data do not support the need for regulation. The physical note states that you cannot reliably estimate the magnitude of the changes proposed today or changes that might be established by proclamation in the future. That's not physical analysis. You don't know how many people, if by proclamation the limit goes down to two fish and all the other limits that the commission, in many cases rightly and in some cases questionably, but all the other limits, people might just not fish as much because it's not as much fun. So I guess, like I said, I don't think, it seems like you're regulating just to regulate. And I understand the idea of being proactive, and in many cases that's warranted. But if there's not a problem, setting up a division director by proclamation to make major changes in a recreational fishery, I just don't think that's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Blaine Crockett?
Yes, can you hear me?
Can.
Okay. As you said, my name's Blaine Chocolate, and I've been in the fishing industry for 35 years. I'm an ambassador for a lot of brands in the outdoor and fishing industry, including Yeti, Patagonia, Costa Sunglasses. And part of my role as an ambassador for them is conservation, right? And part of what I do, being a guide for 35 years, I have quite a few clients that I'll take and host trips all over the world, including the state of North Carolina, which I've been doing since 1998. And a lot of what happens with me as a host to take clients to fisheries is how well those fisheries do for my anglers and what the abundance of fish, right? And I have a unique perspective on this because I've traveled to Cape Cod. I've seen Bonita up there, seen Bonita in North Carolina. And a lot of my trips have changed over the years because many fisheries are not as good as they used to be, whether it's overfishing, water quality, whatever it may be. And certain things, whether it's environmental, a lot of things we can't control, but what we can control is fish regulations and making it right for everyone. And I do really appreciate the fact that North Carolina is being proactive on trying to regulate Bonita, because I do feel like the world's getting smaller. You know, fisheries are on the decline for the most part. And selfishly for me as an angler and as a host to show people the different great areas in North Carolina, I've been all over the world, and North Carolina is one of my favorite places to go. And Atlantic Bonita, just like False Albacore, did not have regulations on them. And the fact that you are being proactive on this, I really love that fact, because I think these fish are such a great fish. And the fact that there isn't any regulations on them, I think it's very important to be proactive on that. And for the future of the guides that work on them daily when they're in season and when they come inshore, but also for the future for my son. I have a 10-year-old son that loves to fish, and I want him to be able to see healthy fisheries in the future. And for me, I just want to say thank you for bringing this up, and I appreciate your time. So I'm in favor of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Blaine. Ray Jarvis.
Is Ray still with us?
Yes.
Yep. Can you hear me? Sorry, I was muted there.
We can.
Great. Yeah, thanks for your time. I appreciate North Carolina proposing these rules, and I'm definitely in favor of the five fists. I live in Massachusetts. I'm a fishing guide up here. I also work with the American Saltwater Guides Association, and being up here in Massachusetts, we enacted proactive measures on false albacore and bonita. You know, because we kind of rely on those species up here, especially myself as a guide, and in the face of a decline of striped bass population, you know, taking proactive measures is the exact reason, you know, why we have fish kind of, you know, in the future. I want my son to be able to catch fish, and, you know, being proactive about all this stuff is definitely, you know, a light in a dark tunnel. I think that we've seen plenty of different fisheries come back and decline. And, you know, without the lack of science or data behind this species, by, you know, being proactive, it's the exact reason why we should be. Arguing that there is no science or data to do this is the exact reason why we should be doing it. Because rather than waiting for a problem, we're kind of nipping it in the bud here. So, sorry for my confused thoughts there, but I appreciate you taking the steps to implement the five fish measure, and I'm supporting it. So, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ryan. Eddie Nickens?
Hey there. Can you hear me?
We can.
Super. Eddie Nickens here. I'm a longtime North Carolina native. I have a house in Raleigh and a very little house in Morehead City. Been fishing the albacore and bonita and all the goodness down there since 1990. I am an independent journalist, but an editor at large for Field and Stream, a contributing editor for Gardening Gun, and editor in chief of Tail, which is the planet's last remaining print fly fishing salt magazine. I think this issue is a matter of accessibility and easeability and deliciousness. These fish are easy to get to. They're pretty easy to catch, and they're awesome on a plate. And I have been, frankly, horrified by what I've seen inside and outside Beaufort Inlet over the last 2 years, inside with the number of fish. They're just being brought in and laid out as brag boards day after day after day. And outside, just an incredible increase in the number of people that are going to these very easy to access inshore reefs that we have, artificial reefs that we have outside of these inlets. And so I commend the commission for taking this up. I think this five fish precautionary limit is supported by the North American Model of Wildlife Conservation, and it's supported by the North Carolina State Constitution, which requires that we manage not for this generation, but for future generations. And I think this is a fabulous chance and a fabulous example of the commission looking ahead, because tomorrow is coming quicker than any of us want. The number of boats that are going to be on our coast is going to go up quicker than any of us can imagine. Just this week, there's been reports of a proposed 200-foot marina that might be going into Radio Island right there in Morehead and Beaufort Inlet. More concerning that is that I know for a fact that half the season ticket holders for UNC football, they've recently bought boats because they don't want to go to the game, so they're headed for Beaufort Inlet this fall. We're going to see more and more anglers out there, which is wonderful that North Carolina has these resources. But we do need some precautionary guardrail regulations on some of these species. When you have no regulations, the temptation is to think that there's no holds barred, that nothing matters. Wasted fish don't matter. Catch all you want, kill all you want, cripple all you want, because these fish have no value. And that's not the case. And the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission has the opportunity to say these fish do have value, and we don't know all the answers, but this is a great and strident first step in and reaching a level of understanding so we can manage these fish for future generations. So I fully support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. John Mauser.
Hey, everybody. First off, thank you for putting this together and allowing us to be able to express our thoughts on this tonight. I am a local here on the Crystal Coast of North Carolina. I've been guiding here and chasing Atlantic Bonito in the springtime for about 15 years. In the last couple of years, it's become a bigger and bigger important part of my season from late March to early May with my clientele. It's the main thing we target in the month of April. 15 years ago, when I would go out and fish, and Bonito are a structure-oriented fish. They're either on, generally, most of the time, on hard bottoms, or they're on artificial reefs or other wrecks. And so 15 years ago, if you went out of Beaufort Inlet and you went and fished some of the wrecks, you know, 8 a.m. in the morning, you might see 20 people out there fishing. You go out there last year, by 8 a.m., there was 50 to 60 boats on any given artificial reef right off of Atlantic Beach. And as technology has increased over the last 2 years, the amount of fish that are being harvested per boat has increased greatly. 10 years ago, you would troll or you would drift or cast for these fish, and you might catch 5 or 10 fish per boat on a good day. Nowadays, you go out there and there'll be 20 boats spot locked directly over the structure. They will have 4 or 5 lines out with live bait, and now those numbers have climbed, and some of these boats are catching 100 Atlantic Bonito per day on these wrecks. And the issue with that is not how many they're catching, but how many they're keeping. And although myself, I can bring home 2, and my wife and I and my kids can eat it for dinner and have some left over the next day, and we're not going to freeze that fish because it's such a good, fresh fish. Some of these boats are keeping 50, 75, 100 of these fish per day. And it's made me sick the last couple years to see some of these anglers that are just going crazy with this. And I know these fish are going to waste. And since these fish are targeted over these certain structure areas, it's making it, you know, you're depleting a certain source. It's not like a Spanish mackerel or a bluefish or an albacore that is spread for miles and miles up and down the coast and you can have your own to target. They're all being pulled from certain areas that they congregate. And it's making it harder and harder to catch them because of the technology. The fish get smart and the areas get depleted. So I think 5 fish is more than enough for any person to eat for a couple of days. And that's all they're good for, honestly. You think about Spanish mackerel and bluefish. They're all, you know, bluefish weren't regulated for a while, but now they're regulated. We have tons of Spanish mackerel. We have the bluefish have made an unbelievable comeback from how they were in the 80s and 90s when they got depleted. Atlantic Bonito is just with the amount of boats that are coming out now, I see the same thing happening with no regulations on these fish. It's getting easier and easier to target them. People can figure it out and they can catch 50 a day. I don't want us to be in the same position we were 15 years ago with bluefish where you couldn't find a bluefish over 2 pounds in North Carolina. So I am very much for the 5-person limit or the 5 fish per person limit that you guys are looking at. I think it's smart. And I understand what the gentleman, I think it was Mike, who was against it. I totally understand his thoughts on that and not having the science, but I've just for years now seen us wait and wait and wait for the science until the fishery's depleted and overfished. And I've also seen us have a science, something, think about flounder, and not move quickly enough on it till the fishery's depleted and basically there has to be a moratorium. So I am all for trying to be proactive and put a limit on these fish because although most people are respectful of not needing to keep more than 3 or 4 of these fish per day, some people have just completely gone crazy with the amount of Atlantic Bonito they're killing. And I think this will be something that helps us keep this amazing fish around for our kids and our grandkids. So thank you so much for allowing me to talk. I appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, John. Joseph Harris.
Is Joe still with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. We can.
My name is Joe Harris. I am a North Carolina resident, born and raised here, been fishing on the coast all my life. I just want to express my thanks for y'all especially. And I am totally in favor of the 5-fish limit. And I would also like to say that I do appreciate that plain chocolate Eddie Nickens, but pronounced the fifth correctly. It is an Atlantic Bonita, even though it does have an O on the end. That's just the way we say it. So I am in favor, and thank y'all very much for having us the ability for us to express our concerns. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Savannah Starling. Savannah with us?
Commissioner Hubbard, she's still here. She may be having trouble unmuting herself.
Catherine, she's unmuted on my end.
She's showing muted from what I'm able to see. I think there was one other speaker. Do you want to try to go to?
That's fine. I'll skip the Sue B. And Sue, can you tell us what your last name is, please?
Yep, Savannah and Sue are both listed. Hope, are you able to see if Sue is unmuted on your end?
They're both unmuted on my end. They'll have to unmute from there. Yep.
If you look at the bottom of your screen, you should see the mic. And
I don't wish to speak. Sorry for any confusion in the chat.
Okay.
Savannah is not going to speak. Sue, if you look at the bottom of your screen, you should see a mic, and it's probably red. If you'll touch it, it'll turn green.
She said audio problem. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry to the last two for the difficulties, but that's all the people we have signed up to speak. I don't think there's anyone else, but I'll pause for a second to see if there's anyone else that would like to comment on this rule.
And Commissioner Hopgood, while we pause, just for Sue, who was having some technical issues, just to reiterate that the comment period stays open through 5 o'clock on October 2nd. And so you're certainly still welcome to submit your comments in written form. All of the information is available on our website. You can contact us. We'll be glad to help you through how to get to that form if you're having difficulty with that.
And so if you do choose to do that, if you'll include your last name, we would appreciate it. With that said, thanks everybody tonight. If no one else wishes to speak, I'm going to close the hearing. And again, just thank everybody for your participation and taking the time out to make comments on this rule hearing.
Thank you, Commissioner Hopgood.
Thanks, Catherine.